with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain. And I cannot compete with you, Jolene.
She wrote Jolene and another... another one of her most famous songs in all the world, which of course I cannot currently
remember.
I'll
Always Love You.
Yes. She wrote them both in the one afternoon.
That's talented.
And welcome to the Hot Flush.
The premiere, Perry.
The premiere. And we're going so well.
The premiere podcast for the perimenopausal, brought to you by fucking no one still, because that's where we're at. You're joined by your host, Mrs. Wigg, and my friend,
Mrs. Berry.
Hello.
Hi.
And we're actually coming from the coast today.
I know, we're coming from the beach house.
The beach house, as opposed to the shit house.
No, as opposed to...
The burbs.
The leafy North Shore house. Yes. What do we call that?
Oh, that's not a shit. The shit shack.
It is so not a shit shack. I love your house.
Oh,
it feels like a home.
It loves you too.
You know how you can tell that I love it? Because I poop in your toilet.
Oh, my God. Too much. Too early. Too soon.
You tell me everyone poops in your toilet.
Sorry, I know. I'm sorry I said that.
So, yes, we are coming from the beach house because Mrs. Woog and I have been trying to get together to have dinner here, for me to cook everyone dinner, for the better part of 6 months. And, of course, as these things always turn out this way, it was literally like on, I don't know what day it was, Wednesday or Thursday. And I said, no, you said to me, potty. And I went, absolutely. And I said, why don't you come here?
And I wrote, yes.
Yeah. And so we are going to have.
Oh, you've got to put this recipe up.
I do.
On the Hot Flush. No, well, write it down.
I kind of just made it up. So we're having pulled pork and I'm making an Asian slaw and I'm also doing a potato salad.
So she's going to put
some beautiful bread
on the Hot Flush Facebook page, which clicked over 2,000 people last week. No thanks to a rather nasty photo of yours truly. I cannot believe I agreed to that.
I know.
My guts.
You are beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Someone
said they wanted to bleach their eyeballs.
I know. And did you see that I called them on it?
No. But I did that.
Oh, no. I called them on it. And then they actually went, no, I meant the sequins because they're like blinding. And then I went,
Nice save.
because I really do think that page is where we all celebrate each other.
Yeah, it's so good. If you're not
and
a member.
All our lumps and bumps.
Yep. It really is one of the nicest places to be on the internet. So just ask to join the Hot Flush Facebook page. There is three men on there who have been vetted and who we know.
They're founding members. They've been there since the beginning.
Start. Yep. But I don't think we've ever kicked anyone out of that page.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, scandal.
Just two.
Speaking of scandals, what do you think about Megxit?
Well, don't you think that the negative reaction is just sitting there as exhibit A as to why they've done it?
Fuck yeah. I
read something where an ex or a retired British photographer, like royal photographer, actually uttered the phrase, look, yes, it was very sad, but it was 25 years ago and you just have to get over it.
Oh.
About like his mum dying, about Princess Diana dying. That was this week he said that.
Yeah, that's fact.
And then another like royal journo was just like, we stand out in the blazing sun and the rain and the freezing weather to see them. And it's just like, yeah, because you're a journalist.
And
that's what journalists do.
Sell papers and you need to fucking get a different job.
And did you ever hear about that Royal Rota thing where everything has to, like, that group of British newspapers get first pick and first access to any photos and then it's allowed to go out? What a rot! Like, that should just be completely abandoned, irrespective of whether, you know, Haz and Megs decide to go it alone. But I'm absolutely thrilled for them. I just think if Diana was here,
yep,
she would be supporting them 5 bajillion percent.
Absolutely, and I support them as well. Like, I wouldn't want to fucking hang around that shit.
No, and they're so damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Yeah.
Like, if they stay, then they're freeloaders and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if they leave, then they're deserters and, you know, and villains. It's just like,
and I love it. Okay, so this is my, you know, I like to spend a lot of time thinking about these things. So this is what I think's happened.
Okay.
Prince William has got it off with one of his friend's wives called Rose Hanbury.
What?
Right.
As in recently?
No, this is a very, very documented and strong rumour.
Oh.
Since early 2019. So they're part of the same sort of, they're called the Turnip Toffs. So I can imagine how infuriating of friends are.
Yeah.
So he started having it off with this one, Rose Hanbury, who's married to a Marquesso, like, you know, whatever, I don't know. And he confided in Harry about it. Of course, Harry has gone, fucking that shit. That's what dad did to mum.
Yep.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And that's when those two started drifting apart. And then he said, don't marry that Meghan Markle. She's trouble. She's not going to toe the line. And he's gone, well, you're not fucking toeing the line, so you can fuck off.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of the rift between the Fab Four. Whoever. Did you know any of that?
I did not know any of that. You are Kate Woog, like Australian royal reporter.
Investigator. And I've done some research onto it, and apparently Kate Middleton asked that this Rose Hanbury be ushered out of their circle.
Out of the turnip tops.
Rather than going, fuck you, husband, for fucking around.
Yeah.
You can go and fuck yourself. She's like, that woman needs to be phased out of our group of friends. So, you know, go Megan.
Yeah. Well, look at them. They're like, we're a team. We're married, we're together, we're committed to each other. What's going to work for us as a couple, as a husband and wife?
So bored now.
Yeah, so bored.
What else?
But don't you think it's just been such a lovely reprieve from everything else?
Well, it is a little bit like Scott Morrison's like, yay, yay. Oh, Donald Trump. Oh, and I did do a tweet this week when Donald Trump sort of suggested that they're going to war, and Scott Morrison jumped all over that, and I was like, has anyone watched the movie Wag the Dog?
Oh.
You haven't watched the movie Wag the Dog.
You have to watch the movie Wag the Dog.
It's one of my favourite movies of all time.
It is so good.
I'll give you a quick rundown. It's the President of America is about to be, outed in the media for fondling a firefly, which is like a brownie girl in the Oval Office. So instead, they invent a war, so this story goes underground. And so I think that's what's happened is that ScoMo's jumped on this war, World War III, which isn't happening, by the way, to take the heat off the fire brigade and how universally hated the man he is.
Yes. Yes. And did you notice that when Michael Rowland interviewed him on 7:30 on the ABC 7:30, that he did it from his office, like from the prime ministerial office, not in the studio? In the prime ministerial office. No, like, that never happens. They always are in the studio.
Yeah.
And then also it's now going to be like flag watch. Like, let's just see every time he's at a presser, like how many flags are behind him.
I know.
Also, who the fuck are his minders and media advisors?
They're from, like, CSU first year on work experience.
They are. They're doing their,
He needs Sawhole.
Oh, my God. She would be a powerhouse.
Yeah, he needs Sawhole. But Sawhole would stab him.
Oh, yeah, she really would.
So, anyway, we are getting all
I wrote something, actually, today to one of our beautiful listeners. We were having a chat on Insta. And I wrote something that I've actually just surmised my sort of feelings about part of this.
Speaking into it.
Yeah, I'm right here. So I think there's a chance when everyone is as rabid as they currently are about all of this stuff.
Rabid.
Okay, sure. And the blaming or the blaming Morrison or that it can very quickly slide to the other side of the argument. Then going, you know, he's not the only. You know, you can't blame him for climate change, where it's actually about his leadership through this period. That's what it's about.
Because he's not a scientist.
No.
No.
And I sort of said, you know, my sort of thinking about this is when it comes to anything regarding any form of moral fortitude or actually thought, Morrison is just, he's just a sheep. Like, he just is a runner in the pack.
He's not smart.
And so the fact that he's managed to get into this position is astounding. But if you look back over what is now the last wasted, well, technically it's a wasted 30 yeah. years, but the last 10 years have been the most dramatic. See, Gillard and Rudd did actually try to get some policies in there, and they did get some policies in there, and Penny Wong was very involved as well in those negotiations. And I know, like, a lot of, not a lot of them, but some of them, yeah, they were clunky. You know, there were things about them that, that weren't quite right or that were going to cost too much, or, but they had started, you know, they had, that at least, it's that whole thing of, like, any assignment that you're working on, it's just get started. And at least then there would have been something in place to work with. So what I'm basically saying
yes.
is that all of this falls onto the shoulders of Tony Abbott and his henchmen because they put power and being in power above all else. And
I think that the last couple of leaders have done that as well.
And so if that last 10 years had been better utilised for major environmental and energy policy reforms.
I'm so bored now.
No, listen. No. It doesn't mean that the fire, it doesn't mean that these fires, like, wouldn't have happened.
Everyone out there, put your hand up if you're bored now.
It too. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean these fires wouldn't have happened, but at least there would have been adaptation and mitigation strategies in place that
I'm just going to go to the kitchen and get a knife.
Oh my God. Okay.
Tell me about
tell me about your new toenail colour because I quite like it.
Okay,
and so it's the first time you've actually had a colour that doesn't either look like a cadaver or
dog's dick pink.
Yeah,
this is called blood clot red.
Like literally, or you've just called it blood clot red?
Well, of course I've just called it blood clot red. I like to. I'm actually working on an article at the moment that's like, what does your choice of nail polish colour tell about you?
Oh.
And it's absolutely there's no research involved. There's no survey being done.
Is there people's body language the next article after that?
No. It's just colour on your nails because I get so frustrated, like flustered when I go in there. And every time I go in and get them, everyone's like on my fucking coming at me going, that's disgusting. Like Christmas beige, that was like, you know, offensive to Christians. And I had Christmas beige. I just can't get it right. So I am actually having an absolute...
Did you have it like, you know, Jesus, you know, stable colour, did you?
Oh, no, it was cadaver beige. But I'm actually going to shop it around to the media outlets before I put it on the blog because I think people will get it. You know, some people don't get my sense of humour at all. Thank you, Frank, you fuckwit.
Trollgate this week.
I know, but I felt so good about it.
I know. It was like, don't you think it was like 2007 all over again?
It was. And it was like, I got this comment on fucking one of the things. What was it? The picture one.
What was it? Instagram.
For saying, for someone who always talks about loving writing and their love of writing, you're a really dreadful writer.
Or you're really bad at it or something. It was so good. And it was something like always hot Frank or something.
Yeah,
and it was
just Frank. And I was like, oh, you have seriously made my day.
What?
I haven't been trolled for such a long time. And like being trolled means that you're interesting and that people are listening. Once the trolls finished back in about 2010, like that's when my confidence took a dive.
And you're at your shrink and just going, I don't know. I've just, people don't love me anymore.
Yeah, like,
Kate, let's look at the facts. How do you know this? No one's trolling me.
And I haven't been on GOMI for years.
God, is GOMI still a thing?
I think so. I haven't checked it, but like I always get an alert when I'm on it, and I haven't had an alert for years. So I just, you know, I've got to try harder.
Do you know, once at the peak of GOMI sort of fame,
were you ever on it?
I was
on
it.
Can you explain to the punters what GOMI
is? So GOMI is Get Off My Internets. And it's like a message board.
It's hilarious.
And all these different bloggers used to have like their own boards. Like
I had my own board.
Woogsy had one. Baby Mac had one. Eden had, like, everyone had their own board. And the only time I was ever messaged was on yours. And someone said, who knows anything about that, like that person, like that about all consuming? What, you know, what are they like? And someone came in and actually was just like, no, no, she has a disabled child. She's like a, she's a good one.
All right. Is that the, I have a disabled child.
I know, right? I was just like, well, you know, like one of Wooters has got, you know, monkey hearing. Like, yeah, come on. Like,
hello. Anyway, it was an absolute joy and treat. And if you're listening,
Frank,
you really made my week.
What else was the highlight of your week?
I had a cheeseburger. I had a Betty's burger. So I can think this week was all about the burger.
Nice.
I did some decent eating this week.
Ah.
I don't know when my period's due, but I'm feeling like it's coming on pretty soon because I've been getting some really good acne.
Oh, yeah, look. Can you see that on my chin?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, matching.
Yeah.
Aww.
Aww, twinsies.
And I've been very much enjoying writing this week. I've written out some very good, well, not according to someone, but some pretty good pieces.
Oh, you found your groove?
Yeah, no, and I'm enjoying getting back into that again. I've dealt with millennials from ad agencies, which takes me back, you know,
wow,
a step. But I think I got there in the end. And Deck Juba never got in touch with us about coming on board as a sponsor.
No, it's disappointing, isn't it? Yeah.
Disappointing. Mind you, I think I might have to make contact with them. I might just go and protest out the front of their head office. I know a lot of people went and bought Deck Juba.
So I've now got two pairs of the drop crotch soft pants.
She's now moving away from the microphone.
Sorry, I'll talk loudly. And then I got the wide leg linen pant and the soft. So I bought four pairs of pants from Deck Juba.
Oh, the soft.
I got that.
Yeah, they're terrific. These are the satin joggers.
I also got this.
I'm never been so proud of anyone in my whole life. What we're looking at here, people, is a black, thick, elastic waist, midi. I wouldn't call that a maxi. It's above the ankle.
Yep.
Silver box-plated skirt.
Yep.
And you're never going to... You can wear that to work, actually.
Oh, wear it to work.
Yeah. That is like thrush on a coat hanger.
Yeah. But it's like, because it's swishy in a skirt, it's okay. If it was a pant, oh, my God. Like...
How much did you have to pay for that little number?
I don't know.
They're cheap at the moment, too.
It's on sale.
Yeah, yeah. You just walk out with it.
It was like... I think it was like $49 or something.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very much.
Let me feel it. Yeah, no, that's total plastic. Don't stand near an exhaust fume. And look at it. Raw edge hem.
Oh, okay. So it was $89.95, but then I got it at 50% off.
Yeah, that's a good buy. It's got a black stripe through it.
It's
And that's Woog approved.
Woog approved. It looks...
Which, given to what I buy, it's a fairly low.
But I was basically, so I was there buying the other pants, right? Because I loved those satin jogger so much that I...
Okay, we're just going to put a bit of this up on Instagram Live. Not that. So we are podcasting live and we are looking at Kim's latest purchase from where?
The Cuba. De Cuba.
Deck Juba.
Deck Juba.
Who still haven't contacted us about, like, you know, partnership. So we've got this. What else did you get? Come on, quickie.
The satin pant.
Satin pants. Satin jogger pants, which I have as well. You can attest that they are really good.
There's a linen pant somewhere.
Linen pant?
A wide-legged linen pant.
That is not what you'd normally go for.
Well, you see, it looks great with, say, this is a top that I've got from Eva's Sunday. It's inside
That's
out,
lovely.
Obviously.
I love that.
So it's just a little linen top, and then I just have a black pant.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, I'm going to end that
That'll do. Anyway, I got that skirt. I got the skirt because as I was standing at the checkout, I said to the woman serving me, had it on. And I went, gosh, that's gorgeous. And she goes, yeah, it's on sale. And I went, what? So I just got it. I didn't even try it on. I just went, I love it. I'm getting it. And the other thing I got was the drop crotch of these. Because I was getting... They had another...
When you say these, the people who are listening can't see them.
It's just a drop crotch jean.
See, I take umbrage.
You don't like it?
Well, I don't have to wear it. And I have something very similar. But I just worry about the colour wash.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Good.
I never do a light wash. I always do a really dark wash.
No.
This is very northern.
Can you just put it on?
This is very northern beaches.
There it is. You need your striped t-shirt with that. Put it on. I might change my mind.
You need a blue stripe. In fact, I don't even know about... Oh, no, I did try these on.
You did. You put them on the stories. They look great.
Yeah.
I take it back.
Yeah, take it back.
That was harsh.
Oh, hello. I was laughing at you like a, you know, hyena last week in your hot pant, your sequin hot pant.
No, no, they're good.
Hey?
Get to Jet Juba and tell them, like...
They've got fantastic stuff. Okay. Like, I don't...
We're giving them enough. We've given them about $1,000 worth of marketing for free.
I don't pick any of their tops because I have boobs and...
I am not going to give them any more marketing for free. Get Jeeva, get in touch. I know where you live.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
How did we get onto that?
I don't know, darling. I don't know what day. It was Saturday because I read the Herald this morning. And it was all sad news about the bushfires and koalas. And I spent far too much time this week looking at koala rescue places. But then I saw all the good shit that people are doing.
All the stuff that...
And did you see Colin Munro? Our friend Cole
was is one of the most gorgeous men God. In the land.
And he's so sexy. It's so
sexy. He's very sexy. He's that sort of big, growlous.
No, he's not big. He's tiny. He's like this big.
Yeah, but he's like big it's in terms country. Of personality. You know, like he's just
warm.
And when he gives you a hug, you feel like you're just totally enveloped. Yeah. And
so he was on all of our shows this week, hugging his little daughters.
Hugging his daughters when he got back after 11 days out fighting fires. And one of his daughters, well, both of the girls just absolutely fell apart.
Yeah.
I don't know how Brooke was holding it together.
Wife, Brooke.
And Brooke, who just has far too much talent in one human. She makes these remarkable weaving basket sculptures and light fittings that she's ridiculously creative. Anyway, can I tell you about my week?
No, because we have to move on to the reader's questions. You have two
really minutes. Already yeah,
2 minutes.
Oh my God!
I'm
okay,
hungry.
I went back to work and I got I actually almost finished off my entire mag in a week. I was so productive; it was really good, and I got some really great feedback from my boss, who I adore, and so that was very positive. First week back at work.
Sad Wookie.
Sad Wookie. So Oscar ended up back in hospital last Thursday night. 5 days on a drip. Now has to wear a pressure stocking on his leg for forever. Broke his thumb. Like, I mean, seriously, the poor Wookie, he's just had such a terrible run. I just want to say that normally when Oscar has a hospital stay, which we have had many, I hold it together through the whole thing and then he gets home and then I fall apart.
Yeah.
And this time he got home.
Mothering.
Yeah. This time he got home and I did have a little bit of like, I just felt quite emotional, you know, like he was home and that was all great, but I didn't fall apart and I wasn't that level of exhaustion where you just need the world to stop so you can take a breath.
Yeah.
Because I now have a partner who I can trust implicitly to just be at the hospital when I'm not there and talk to the doctors, know everything that's going on. Right, ask the right questions.
Across to you.
Retell it back to me.
It's what a normal, healthy partnership should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rob took, like, family leave. He was at the hospital with him all day. He took him for walks.
He's amazing.
You know, he
complimented me on my sequin skirt tonight. I told him.
He loves a sequin.
Yeah, I said to him, you can borrow it anytime he wants.
He's in his house dress. He loves a sequin.
Yeah.
So the Wookiee is home. He's actually gone out with one of his support programs tonight to watch the basketball. So that's his first time out doing something since Boxing Day.
Okay, let's move on to the reader's questions.
Oh, one quick thing.
It's never quick.
On the Facebook page, Anne referred to lasering as arborist activity, which I just love.
They're so funny.
Honestly. Oh my God. So now any sort of waxing or lasering, it's all just arborist activity.
And I have to say, you know, we've
well done, been Anne.
Doing this for a while now, and the Facebook pages are getting funnier and funnier.
Yeah.
Like, as we age, we are just getting, fuck this. Yeah. And it's so good. I get so much joy.
Okay. Right. Moving on.
Okay. Liz asks, love the idea of a YouTube channel. We're going to talk about that later. Or not on the air because that's boring for you. Has Kim got any more tips from the dietitian for us? us with Hashimoto's and are trying to do Operation Density Drop?
No. Really, the only thing is just to only eat when you're hungry and to eat slowly and to stop when you're full, lots of water, and when you are, whatever you are eating, look at making sure that you sort of look in order of fat actually adds flavour and has good mouthfeel, and protein is what gives you slow energy burn, fibre necessary, and then sugar and all the rest are actually just sort of down the track. So while if you're really hungry, you just want to go for the carbohydrate or something sugary because your body metabolizes it in 20 minutes, just go for something that isn't like that.
Kirsty Lyons asked, I want to know what you think of the whole Harry Meghan drama. I think we've covered that. Also, I've started on the Huffy Puffy after 2 years.
Well
and
done.
A 10-kilo weight gain. It's hard. You know what? And Kim's going
to actually start looking forward to it.
Kim's going
to
hit me now. You crave it.
And yeah.
It just takes you a couple of, like, a month or two.
It takes 4 weeks. Four weeks to form a new habit.
Yeah, and you will crave it, so keep up. But
No, I agree with you completely.
Caroline says, talk to me about anything. Anything distract me from my family. and we can laugh about this, but we've had a good friend lose a very important member of their family in the past week, and as much as I, like, totally get it, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's very, you know, none of this is a straight one path. You know, yeah. Just because you're related to someone doesn't mean they're good for you or that we all have friends who we love and would do anything for, who we, you know, if we're really honest, would put above quite a few of our family members.
I told my 14-year-old to fuck off this week, so I'm probably not the best person to talk to.
Okay.
Talk to. About this. Moving in, can you please send all our love to baby Macbeth? She's so sad at the moment. That's who we were talking about, and we both been long time, you know, over 10 years friends with baby Mac. And
but you know, the thing about the you know, about being with your family, so this was the longest, this, you know, so I had a break from our office shut from the 24th to the 6th, and that was the longest I've actually been with the boys since I went back to full-time work in April.
Yeah. Oh no.
Wait, Jesus.
But I get it. I absolutely get it.
It is just relentless. I
absolutely 100% get it.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I was at I was at the IGA the other day in Linfield.
Yeah.
And this lady came up to me. She said, excuse me, I just want to say, like, oh, you know, I love listening to the Hot Flash. And I actually went to school with Kim.
Oh.
And I said, what's your name? And then forgot it. But she was wearing a beautiful pink dress. So if that was you and you were with your mother at the IGA in Linfield, can you just let us know your name? Because you went to school with Kim.
Aww.
And said hello. And then she said, I bet you get sick of people saying hello. I said, no, it's actually worse if people just text you and said, I just saw you eating a cheeseburger on the train. You know, that's actually worse. Come and say hello.
We love it so much. Well, I had some, I had a gorgeous woman stopped me when we went to see Hannah Gadsby the other week.
Oh, yeah.
And she'd gone to the earlier show and we're leaving. And she sort of stopped us on the stairs going up into and it was so lovely. And she's like, oh, my God, this must be just terrible. And I go, are you kidding? Like, this is the best. And then Yarl walked past. Seriously, I felt like a superstar. Anyway, Hannah Gadsby was just really amazing.
It's so lovely to meet a flusher.
It is.
It really is.
Okay, moving on. Keep going. Oh, Gabrielle said that she loves when we do this because it's like watching Romper Room and waiting to see if Miss Patricia would read out your name.
Gabrielle. I'm not sure where you're up to now.
Oh, no, I'm in the other one. I'm in the one where I said I'm making Mr. and Mrs. Boog dinner.
Well, Janice says 5 stars for you, Kim, to getting through this week.
Yes, thank you. It was a big one.
Oh, God. Okay, Leanne. I'd like to know, Annie, I would like to know any tips for mourning someone who isn't dead. I'm done with my narcissistic mother and weak father, and I've told them to go and take a running jump. I'm done. So how do I explain this to my children that they aren't going to see their grandparents, and how do I mourn this situation? I'm heartbroken. I think this is getting more and more prevalent with what's happening at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm doing it as well. I don't actually have an answer for that. I don't know how we do it. I don't know how we do it well. I don't know how we do it with, you know, when it has the flow-on effect to our kids as well.
I think you have to go and get some, like,
actual
professional
guidance
on this. Like, narcissists are very hard to deal with. It is mourning a death of someone who is still alive, but if they're not good for you, then don't listen to us on this one, is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say go and get some professional advice, because there will be people over there. Like, and this happens all the time. Don't think that you're the first person.
Yes. Yeah.
That this has happened to.
And, you know, when I first mentioned it, when we were talking about it, and said, look, I think I'm going to have to just sever contact with these family members. Oh. The support that I got from Hot Flushes was
a lot of them, because you can't choose your family.
You can't choose your family. And we're at a point, though, where we have to look after you have to look after yourself.
If you are lucky, you get a great one.
Yeah.
Look at the Royals, for fuck's sake.
Okay. Yeah, go on.
Kim, can you do a rain dance?
Oh, God. No. I don't reckon getting these guts wobbling and these boobs going is going to do anything.
Where would I source a tapeworm? I need to lose 15 kilos and hate the gym.
I love that so much.
Where do you get one?
Oh, look, you'd just have to go and lick the pavement in Vietnam, wouldn't you?
Surely there's some Chinese doctor in
Sydney would give you a tapeworm.
Best things to do in the city daytime and up for early starts, water sports, art, wine, bars. What? I have 2 days. Oh, Donna. Jesus, I'll just be spending it in a hotel spa.
Yeah, I know. I just told her to go to breakfast somewhere. She should, I mean, you know, she could always do like the Harbour Bridge walk, Harbour Bridge climb or something.
Michaela. I love you both.
Aww.
Oh, that's so nice. You wouldn't if you knew us, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think I've had a shower for 2 days. And I'm not even going to ask you when you've had last
one. Yesterday. I didn't have one today.
Kirsten, beautiful girls. May I say thank you for keeping me on a relatively even keel. Some major meltdowns. But I think I'm all good. You rock. You know why we rock? Because we represent exactly who you are.
Yeah.
Two bloody lost, like not lost, but, you know, just bloody making it up as we just go worn along. Out.
And, tired.
You know, tired and sick of doing that. And finding a snake under your bed and then there's washing and, you know, it's just.
The washing. Do you see that? Like, I just was like, can we just not have the washing in the living room when Woogs and Mr. Woog come over? So now it's up here where we're podcasting.
Jody, it's how great. To survive having your hubby home over the holiday period? You go away. It's pretty easy. How do we manage our health complaints? This is Sarah. I have a list that makes me sound like a freaking hypochondriac. I have more appointments with health professionals than I used to go out with friends. Every time I go, I end up making new connection specialists. I'm over it. I know, because I have got like 16 appointments lined up. It's called getting older.
Yes.
And
sooner have all those appointments and be getting to the bottom of it all than so just,
that
lump, you know. There.
What the hell's that?
Well, I wanted to know what this lump was over here in your
foot. Oh, I've had that since I was a baby. But look, this is new. I've got new matching ones.
Oh, what's that?
Well, that's leg cancer, obviously.
Obviously, that's some sort of tumour. I'll still love you. I'm just going to call you Stumpy.
Yeah, it's called getting old. You can either ignore it and die early.
It's probably some sort of callus from Huffy Puffy or something.
No, it's probably from... okay, Leanne. Would you consider discussing your experience of taking medication for anxiety?
Sure.
God, yeah. I think we've bloody gone over that a few times.
Yeah.
Get a headache, take a Panadol, have bad thoughts for a long time, take some beta blockers.
Yeah.
And I'm not being like...
No.
Like, it's just, I treat it like any other, like my leg cancer here. Like any other sort of ailment that you have.
Yeah, those malignant tumours that are developing in your legs. You're gonna deal with them. Toot sweet.
You just treat it as it's a medical condition. It's a disease.
So here's the thing. The issue with this as a disease is that it is different in every single person. And because we are people, when you're working with someone to treat it, you have to connect with them. So if you are seeing a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counsellor and they are not, you're not walking away from those sessions with more strategies and techniques to handle it, then you find someone else. Mm. You don't just stay with that person.
No.
And it can sometimes also take time that if you have reached a point where medication is on the cards...
It's not that big a fucking deal. Well,
only way it is a deal is that some work better for some and some work better for others. And you have to be willing to be in that place to actually go and to be really honest and to really track how you are and go, you know what, actually, this is actually not working for me.
Yeah.
Because there are other medications. They all, if you imagine your brain and the component of your brain that looks at anxiety, there are myriad drugs that treat that, but then imagine that part of the, let's imagine it as a pie graph, you know, like as a circle, then there's all little different bits of that pie that are different medications that treat it differently. And one of them's going to help you, but that might not be effective for someone else. And you just have to be willing to hold the course. Mm. And if the first drug isn't working, that doesn't mean that they don't work for you. It just means that that drug is not effective for you. And I have...
It's like some people can't eat, gluten.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm. And so I have...
Poor bastards.
Over the last 20 years, I have been on a number of different antidepressants and mental health medications. And for whatever reason, over that course of time, some of them stopped working or some of them haven't worked. But, you know, the medications that I'm on now, I have now been on for 5 years and I've been the most stable and the most elevated and happy in my adult life. And, you know, if I say to someone, well, you know, it took 15 years to find that. No, it didn't take 15 years to find that. But you just have to accept that some of these things are a process.
Mm.
It's not going to be take the first tablet and feel better.
Absolutely not. Also, if I can just jump in here, get a GP who loves you and you love them, right? Yeah. Who wants to make you well and, like, do what they say. Go and get all the stuff done.
Yeah.
Get a therapist because medication alone, you have to have a good therapist.
And this is the other thing. There is no magic pill.
Mm.
You have to do the work.
No,
so whether it's anxiety, depression, therapist, mood disorder, it doesn't matter. You still have to do the cognitive work as well as the medication.
It took me 5 to find my girl.
There you go.
Yeah. It takes a long time to find the one that you click with.
Yeah. And I remember a friend said to me right back at the very beginning when the first psychiatrist I saw. Because
you can just sack them if you don't like them.
Yeah. You just cancel your appointment.
Yeah, nah.
And go and find another one. Because if they're not working for you... 12-year-old
woman who doesn't even need to shave your pits. You're not telling me what to do.
But I had the script and I didn't fill it for a couple of weeks. And I bumped into this old school friend who I hadn't seen for, you know, ever. And she said to me, Kim, you've got to do it. And she said, look at it as the tablet is dealing with the chemical so you can deal with the emotional.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my God. Okay.
But even this morning, I woke up and my mind was going nuts, right? Racing, 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 racing. Because, you know.
And don't you hate, like.
And I'm like, shut up. Like, I've got the tools. Like, yeah. I've been taught the tools.
Yes.
So I can, like, oh, for fuck's sake, Kate. Yeah. Really? Do we need to do this now?
Yeah.
It's Saturday morning. Get up, make a coffee, read the paper.
Yeah.
Let's get on with it. Do we want to sit here and worry about things that may or may not happen?
Yeah.
And that all comes down to having a good therapist.
Yes.
So instead of spending the day, like, being anxious, I'm like, let's go eat some bread. okay, last question. And then we're going to go because I'm salivating now. I just said bread.
We have to go and eat pork.
Ladies, what's your biggest regrets in life? Okay, I'm going to go first. I've had a few. I remember Mr. Woog and I, probably 20 years ago, we were standing on Burlington Street, which is a really fancy street in Crow's Nest, and there was this beautiful three-bedroom semi going right. to auction. And then we were like, can you believe someone paid $370,000 for that little house?
How much would it go for now?
About $4 million.
Yeah. I was just going to say.
How much you'll regret? You can only have one. And you've only had 5 seconds to think about it.
Yeah.
So go with your gut. Go with your gut.
I don't have any.
It's so good.
Really? I don't.
Your life's pretty good.
I mean, you know, you give me a moment and I'll probably be able to give you a list of about 50. But really, in terms of like, oh my gods, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just tired.
Well, you know how last time I asked you for your goal and you didn't have one?
Yes.
Maybe next time we come back next week, you can share your regret.
Okay.
But, as I said, try not to live with them. They're full of bullshit. Sending love to everyone. Thank you for the fireys.
Oh, so much. Oh, and just quickly before we go, I put the up on the Facebook page the question about what would you like me to cook and what would you like Wigsy to sing. And, oh, my God, I love it so much. I think I'm going to pin it to the top so everyone can keep adding to it. And, I'm going to do that. And we think that whatever, if it's not a YouTube channel, then it might be the ITV or whatever is the Instagram.
Rob about that.
So, yeah. So, and I think we need to make some sort of,
money.
Cooking, singing. Something.
I'm heading off because I need the love, but I'm going to leave my friends say,
just keep plucking.